Well, have you ever? Yeah. I feel a little bit like the fellow trying to describe the summer shower with Noah in the audience. How do you follow that? And yet, if you can't follow that, you need to turn in your credentials. What a blessed day. What a glorious time the people of God can have on this side. And yet, could I remind you of something? Who are those? John said. And he was told, oh, those are the ones who've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And there's thousands and tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands, and every knee bowed and every tongue confessed and every eye saw him, the reason that we are all celebrating today. Whew. So if you have your Bibles and will allow me to hold you just for a moment or two, turn to the 111th division of the Psalms. For all of you who come each Sunday, this is the 18th message in this series, A Psalm for Every Season Under the Soul. But I backtracked on my calendar when I started this series, so that we would arrive today at the subject, when you celebrate the greatness of God. And that's what the 111th division of the psalm is all about. It's Israel returning from 70 years of captivity in Babylon. It's their first sight of the rebuilt gates. It's their first sight of the teaching steps mounting up to the Temple Mount. It's their first gathering back together in the homeland. It's their homecoming. And although 65 falls 5 years short of 70, and we've not really been in captivity, this is for many of us today a homecoming. A time to give great celebration to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who deserves it. Allow me to read the text and then mention three words in your presence: worship, wonder, and wisdom. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. In the company of the upright, in the congregation, great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them, full of splendor and majesty in his work. And his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him, and he remembers his covenant forever. He's shown his people the power of his works, and in giving them the inheritance of the nations, the works of his hands are faithful and just, and all his precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Join me in prayer. Oh, Father, our hearts are flooded with memories, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, and with anticipation. If this is what it can be like in a sin-torn world. What shall it be like when all God's children get home? And so today, favor us with your presence, your power, and your provision. Save somebody that's lost. Transform somebody that's gone astray. Call somebody back home who needs to hear from you. And make this a celebratory day, not just here in this place, but all over heaven, as the saints rejoice at the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 11 is an acrostic poem. Other than that first line about praising the Lord, every sentence in the psalm begins with the sequential alphabet of the Hebrew people. Why does that matter today? Because it was a very purposeful and very powerful and very pregnant psalm with the glory and the joy and the festivities of the Lord. It was the people at their best. It was worship in excellence. It was God speaking to them so that they could worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it all begins in these first four verses with worship. And to be honest with you, as I look back over 65 years as Central Baptist Church of Conway, that is where it all began. It began with worship. If you don't believe that, take a look at that first little building and even the building beyond. It was not about location. In fact, we were known as the best kept secret in Conway for many years. It was not known for the size building and all that we had to offer as a facility. It began to be known as a place where the Word of God was preached, where the music was biblical and scriptural, where the people of God prayed, and where God did mighty things in their midst. Daryl introduced those who have led music in the past who could be here today. L.C. Corbett Jr. was leading music when I first came. He's long since gone home to be with the Lord. But then there were pastors that came before me, A.R. Redden and Johnny Carpenter, C.O. Strong with the Lord today, Jack Bloxham, the only other living pastor of the five or six who have served Central through these 65 years. And Mike was right. No man could be more blessed than I to get to stay at a place as long as I've stayed. To watch children grow up and have children. Myself to grow up and have children who have children. What a blessing. But when you lay aside all the earthly memories that we are so fond of and even shed tears in joy when we think of, there is one foundation that allowed everybody and everything to be as it is. And that's the first three words of the Psalms: praise the Lord. He's worthy. And we have come to worship Him today as we have done all these years in the past and as we shall continue to do until the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised and the living saints go home to be with the Lord in the air. There was with the psalmist a resolve to worship. He said, I'll give Him thanks with my whole heart. And if you're not giving Him all you've got, you're not giving Him enough. He's worthy of your whole heart. And he said, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. He spoke of private worship. He spoke of public worship. And he who does not worship privately is not apt to worship publicly. But when you put the private worship of the week together with the public worship of a single day, then the saints lift their voices in praise and adoration to the Lord. There was a resolve to worship. There was a reason to worship. In verse 2 and 3, he said, because great are the works of the Lord. It be said, full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. We would be here till tomorrow or the next day or maybe even next Sunday if I were to call upon each of you who through the last 65 years have seen the hand of God move in a particular area in your life. Folks don't really talk about it much anymore, but we've seen miracles. We've seen cancers healed. Have others died? Yes, they have, but that's God's business. We've seen homes put back together. We've seen drunkards, alcoholics, drug addicts saved by the grace of God walk the aisle in repentance and their lives totally changed. We've watched as God has built his church. No pastor, no staff member, no deacon body gets the glory for building this church. This church is built on the solid rock. No other ground is worthy to be called the foundation of Central Baptist Church. We have a resolve to worship, but oh, we have a reason to worship. His name is mighty. His works are glorious. They're full of splendor and majesty. He's God, and beside him there's none else. But we move quickly to that second word, not just worship, but wonder. He's caused his wondrous works to be remembered. Brother Darrell was good to sing two or three of my favorites today, and one of them's always going to be, "We Will Remember." For that's the motivation for tomorrow. The fact that he's always been faithful, that he's always been good, that he saved me when I asked him to, and that I'm still saved, gloriously saved, not by any work of righteousness which I've done, but according to his grace and mercy he saved me. There's not one of us, there's no one in this room this morning that's here because of how good you are, how great you are, or what you have accomplished. We've been drawn to this place by the mercy of the living God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by grace that is so vast and so wonderful that we could not help but call it amazing. It's amazing grace. We apprehend what God has done when we look back. And it wouldn't hurt us to pause for just a moment and look back. We got saved. We got called to preach. We got married. We laid to rest a loved one. We had a child. We watched them baptized. They grew up and they've got children. And we're beginning to see many of them baptized. All looking back does is remind us that we cannot quit. We cannot stop. We cannot slow down. We cannot go backward. We must go on, for the blessings of God have favored the way, and his mercy endures forever. Not only did we apprehend what he's done, we appreciate what he's doing. Verse 5. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Don't get that verse mixed up with the fish and chicken that are to follow. That's not the food he speaks of here. There's another food that does not necessarily enter the mouth. That's the food that God feeds the hungry soul. That's the presence, power, provision, and protection of God that becomes ours because we trust him, we obey him, and we follow after him. We look back, we apprehend what he has done, but we look around and we appreciate what he has doing. Let me just throw a question out in the air. Go back 20, 30, 40 years. Go back 50, 55, or 60 years. Go back to the day that the church as a mission became a church. Would any of us have expected this? I would not have. And you say, oh, you have little faith in me, but not in him. For he and he alone has done what has been done, and we appreciate it today. We apprehend it, we appreciate it. But if we don't appropriate it, that's just a big word that means if we don't put it to work, if we don't use it, if we don't let it do what it's supposed to do and accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish, if we don't take what we have and do something with it, to have gone from 40 or 50 to hundreds and hundreds of people, if we don't do something with that that shakes this city, that shares the gospel, that sees men's lives transformed, woe unto us. We have been equipped and energized in order to reach the city of Conway with the good news of the gospel. A day should not go by, an hour should not go by that we don't find somebody who needs to hear God is alive and doing business in this city. Come trust Him. Come see what the Lord can do. We wonder. And then you might wonder why the last word is the word wisdom. Where does that fit in all of this? Well, listen to verse 7 and following. The works of His hands are faithful and just. His precepts are trustworthy. They're established forever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to His people. He's commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And all those who practice it have a good understanding, and His praise endures forever. Here's what wisdom is all about. This morning, as we see with our eyes and feel with our hearts and minds what God has done, we need to refresh ourselves in our commitment. We need to look around and say what great and mighty things God has done. But if God is good, if the trumpet doesn't sound, and if we're all together again 5 years from today, I don't want us just to brag on yesterday. I want us to be able to say, in these past 5 years, look what God has done. We've not arrived. This is just a dress rehearsal for the glorious and grand day we meet Him face to face. And we keep on practicing until we get it right. Won't you come along with me and refresh your commitment to the Lord? You say, where does wisdom come in? That's the wise thing to do. Knowing that God is faithful, knowing that He has a covenant with His people, knowing that His name is holy and awesome, knowing that those who praise Him and practice following Him are to be blessed, wouldn't it be a wise thing for any one of us or every one of us today to say, Lord, I commit myself afresh to You. I want to follow You and serve You and love You and live for You and lean upon You more in these days to come than I ever have thought about in the past. It's not only a fresh regard for the Lord, it's a fresh response to Him. Verse 10 simply says, fear Him, practice good things, and praise Him. And I would say in closing that this last hour has been to me a touch of heaven on earth. I couldn't expect any of you, a few of you perhaps more than others of you, to know what it feels like to stand in a place and to look around and watch people come in whose lives have been transformed and changed, fitting back together again. Some folks that are here this morning, it may be your first time in this building, and yet we've been in it since 2003. You were a member way back there and way back then. Some of the pastors who've gone on to be with the Lord, they have family members here today to represent that time when someone else led this church as the gospel was being preached. But let me just close by telling you, this is a foretaste of heaven divine. When the teenager and the golden ager comes together, when He who was and He who is stands side by side and praises the One who has forevermore been. A time when that which used to be and that which is now mingles together in such fashion and form that we cannot help but believe that God has put the whole thing together. Maggie loves jigsaw puzzles, especially the 500 pieces and now and then the 1,000 pieces. When she spreads it all out on the table, she loves to dig just a little and say, "Come help me find the first piece." You realize any one of the 1,000 pieces is fine as the first piece. You do get that, don't you? It's the second piece that's hard. It's the second piece that's hard. But you know what our sovereign God's done? He's taken all the pieces. And by his providence and in his power, he has all put them together from each side of the board, one at a time here and there, until the perfect portrait is painted, until every one of us look just like Jesus Christ, until we're all conformed to the image of our Lord. That's where we are today. The old preacher Vance Havner said it so well when he said, "We are living in the until." Until he comes, and until we meet together again in glory. So if this old preacher can close with one sentence, it's this: thank you. I can go now. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of our Lord. Would you stand, please? Each of our pastors are going to come, and it would not be church, and it needs to be church, if the presentation of the gospel through song and sermon is not given an opportunity for you to respond in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. I know there's a big crowd, but if you're lost today, forget who's beside you, in front of you, and behind you. Just make your way to the altar and take one of these pastors by the hand and say, "Tell me how to get that kind of joy. Tell me how to find that kind of forgiveness. Tell me how my life can be changed for the better." If your membership is elsewhere and you'd love to become a part of our church family, yeah, it's a big crowd. But to be honest with you, it's a pretty good sized crowd every Sunday. The only thing that you need to do is stop looking at people and start looking at Him. And you come today and become a part of us and serve ever how many days, weeks, months, and years we have remaining till God calls us home or comes back for us. And maybe the overwhelming and overflowing presence of God has just touched your life today. And I won't say maybe that's all, because if that's what's happened, wow. Been in the presence of Jesus. Maybe you just want to come and tell a pastor that, or find a place to kneel and pray and tell God that. Maybe you just want to hug somebody's neck. Maybe you just want to tell somebody, "Join hands with me and pray with me." Whatever God speaks to your heart about, that's exactly what you ought to do in the closing moments of this service. So pastors, you come, and Daryl, you lead us in music.
And there's just one thing that I want to say.